You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Hey, Browns fans. You can secure your Cleveland Browns season tickets for 2014 today. Place your deposit to lock in the best seats and prices. Don't miss your chance to join the best fans in the NFL at First Energy Stadium. Visit ClevelandBrowns.com or please call 440-824-3434 today. A couple other things I want to talk with you about. We are very proud to have just found out, and Dave DiNatale, our outstanding producer, just informed us that the Browns Daily Twitter account, @Browns_daily, just surpassed the 5,000 mark in follows, which is great. This is a pretty young Twitter account, and very proud of that. I'll tell you now, because of Dave and the work he's done, because he does a lot of tweeting from it for us, and two new additions to our show, Megan Rock, who is in studio with us today, tweeting about show content, and also she'll be preparing the Browns Daily Wrap, which is a piece that runs on Cleveland Browns, is posted on ClevelandBrowns.com. You'll see that later today. And Carly McCord also does similar work. They alternate some days to do that. They've contributed heavily to that, so thank you to both of them.
Thanks to everybody for following us. We appreciate it.
And the followers especially, that you guys are responding to it, and as well as our own accounts, yours truly's and Nathan's. And another Twitter account, too, is Mary Kay Cabot. She's got one that you got to follow. Mary Kay, longtime Browns beat writer, Cleveland.com. Cleveland Plain Dealer, and she joins us, as she regularly does on the show. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How you guys doing?
Okay. So let's start with just this whole notion we were talking about a little bit earlier. In preparing for this game against the Ravens, the different feel that this Browns team has now compared with what we saw in Week 2, and I think, Mara, that at least my sense, it goes beyond just the fact that Jason Campbell's the starter going into this game versus Brandon Whedon.
Well, yeah, there is a different vibe, and there's another big, huge reason for that, and we talked to him in the locker room today, and that is Josh Gordon.
Yep.
I think everyone is starting to see now the wisdom and the value of having just a dynamic receiver on your football team like Josh that can change the game at any time. And, you know, he's just lights out this year. I, for one, I'm happy that he's still here.
Yeah.
I think he's just tremendous. I think he's doing a great job off the field. I think he's gaining trust in his coaches and the guys around him. And he's the kind of young man that you really, really pull for. And so, you know, good for him that he's here. And, you know, good for these guys that they kept him around. I think that gives this this game just a little bit more drama.
It certainly does, and Gordon right now, second in the NFL, 97 yards per game. He's got three games with 100 yards receiving. The only people with more are A.J. Green and Calvin Johnson, both of whom have played more games than Mr. Gordon. So he's having a phenomenal season, and you talked to him in the locker room today, Mary Kay. Is he a different guy today, knowing now that all this trade talk is over with? What was your sense of Josh Gordon today versus what you've seen from him in the weeks leading up to this, you know, very tumultuous trade time?
Well, I think he's relieved on a lot of fronts. He wanted to be here. Like I said, this was the team that drafted him. He's gotten some very, very good friends here. He likes the coaching staff. I think he said last week, he wants some new questions. In addition to the trade deadlines and the rumors and those kinds of things, he had come off having to talk about the suspension for the whole first part of the season.
Right.
So now I think he's really hoping that he can stop talking about suspension, stop talking about trade, and move on to some of the amazing things that you're talking about on the football field.
Mary Kay, as we also talk about Jason Campbell and his component in all of this, it's a different scenario now that he's preparing for a second game and that an opponent has now a full game tape to review of what he did against Kansas City. Nonetheless, there were some major differences in the quarterbacking position that we saw with Campbell in there. And I guess it begins with the fact that he's just a very poised, composed guy who seems to have great awareness. If he did nothing else but have that, that's an improvement at the position.
It really is. And you know what? That was a great defense they played, and they're running into another really, really good defense on Sunday. Same kind of thing, same pass rushing, same points allowed. These guys are giving up only 16.5 points per game. In their last six games, they've given up only six touchdowns. That's fewest in that span.
And only five offensive.
Yeah, yep. These are things that you really have to try to overcome. But when you look at what he was able to do in Kansas City, he almost scored more points against those undefeated Chiefs than anybody else in the NFL this season, had it not been for Devon Bess's struggles at the end of the game. So, you know, 17 points, that matched their high. I was very impressed with the way he eluded pressure. That was probably the number one thing, was that, you know, stepping up and hitting that throw to Jordan Cameron, sidestepping pressure, scrambling away, scrambling out of it, just a field awareness and overcoming the adversity of three and outs to start the game.
When you look at this game, and you talked about how good defensively they've been, in fact, the last two games they've held Green Bay and Pittsburgh both to less than 20 points, what are the two critical things in your mind the Browns must do to win on Sunday and end this five-game losing streak at home against Baltimore?
Well, you know what? Once again, you know, I'll bring it right up again to Josh Gordon. I mean, Jason Campbell did a nice job, you know, on the flea flicker and getting the ball to his playmakers. He doesn't have enough playmakers, but he found the guys. He found Jordan Cameron. That was a beautiful catch. We all saw that. And he got the ball to Josh Gordon. So he has to hit those guys again on the big plays. You know, I think that's number one. We can say all we want, they're going to need to run the ball. Well, they can't run the ball right now. So we shouldn't have, nobody should have any expectations
right.
that they're going to run the ball, especially against this team. So they have to get it accomplished in other ways. And unfortunately for them this week, you know, obviously they do not have Travis Benjamin. I think that hurts tremendously because they had been counting on some huge plays on special teams. So, you know, unless Fozzie or someone else, you know, maybe Armani Edwards steps up, you know, I don't know that you can count on an 86-yard return this game. So they're going to have to be down for down, very, very sound.
Right, and make up some of that loss of Travis Benjamin. And I'm glad you brought up Armani Edwards was just signed. He has some history with Rob Chudzinski in Carolina, former college quarterback who's done well on returns in the past. What's your expectation for his utilization here right away now that he's been signed to the Browns?
Well, they'll try to get him up to speed as quickly as they possibly can. And you know, if he can, if they feel like he can do it, they'll put him out there on some returns. Chud has a familiarity with him. He knows what he can do. And, you know, if they just keep him to a limited role, he can probably step in and produce this weekend. So looking forward to seeing what he can do. And who knows? I mean, guys like that have played quarterback before, you know, maybe they have some tricks up their sleeves, you know. And we've seen some of these things with Marquise Gray. So, you know, why not pull out all the stops like that?
They got some big sleeves on this coaching staff because there's a lot of tricks up them. I mean,
they
you
do.
Just you look
yeah.
at Rob Chudzinski walking around and honest to God, it's like, you know, Marvel the Magician. I mean, they're all looking to do these various things. North Turner, it's definitely that kind of an approach and aggressiveness. And I don't think we've seen just even the surface being scratched of it. And he talked about that today, too. Rob Chudzinski going forward on fourth down and persistently going forward on fourth down and having success doing it, too.
Yeah, and why not? I mean, why not? This is a team that needs to try to do things like that. Be aggressive. You know, it's a theme that runs throughout the whole entire organization. You know, Joe Banner's up in his office on the phone being aggressive, and then it trickles on down from there. And I think that Browns fans have got to love seeing him go for it on fourth down. And the players love it, too. The players love to know that you have faith in them that they can convert a fourth down.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us from Cleveland.com and the Cleveland Plain Dealer. And I think an under-discussed, maybe underappreciated element of why they should do that, continue to do that, why there is hope for this offense, and it's not just Josh Gordon. I think this offensive line has made the statement, not just in this last game, but let's talk about the Detroit game as well, in terms of its ability to protect a quarterback. They were protecting Brandon Whedon well, too. He didn't always do the best with it because he took so much time in the pocket, etc. But we saw it with Jason Campbell, especially against the top sacking team in the league, and it was consistent, the protection that they provided him. And I would say against another strong pass rushing team, you have to feel good, and you're playing at home, that this O-line can continue to do that.
Absolutely. I mean, geez, you know, you looked back at that game and you saw what they had done, 35 sacks coming in, 64 pressures, which also led the league. They led the league in forced fumbles, everything that you can possibly think of. And these guys did a great job on the offensive line. Mitchell Schwartz has stepped up his game. It helps to have Sean Laval back in there. That side has stabilized a little bit.
Yes.
You know, you're talking about going against, you know, Elvis Dumervil, Terrell Suggs. They have a little bit of confidence, and I think it really helps them to know that they have a quarterback that's going to get rid of the ball quickly and that he can also get away from that pressure a little bit.
Right. I think you bring up a very good point that can be backed up statistically speaking. Two sacks allowed against Green Bay, two sacks allowed against Detroit, three against Green Bay, one last week. So that's six total against three teams that have been getting after the quarterback very effectively, when this was a team that was getting sacked six times a game early in the season. So this is a big, big difference. And I think when you come down to it and you look at it, this is has the makings of a low-scoring, tough, hard-fought affair where the Browns are going to have to, in a close game, seize the moment and do something that the Ravens haven't been able to do, which is get it done in close games. The Ravens have lost three of their last four by a total of 8 points.
Well, you know, every time I think it's going to be a low-scoring game this season, yeah. it doesn't so much turn out to be that way. So sometimes games have a way of taking on a little life of their own, and you never know what can happen. So in today's NFL, I usually think that there's going to be some points scored. And I think that Jason Campbell is still going to have the opportunity to put up some points against this team, even though they're not giving up many. And like you said, the Browns are doing well defensively in that regard. They had a great second half in that game. But you know what? I mean, Joe Flacco, Torrey Smith, you know, they have the opportunity. Ray Rice, they have the opportunity to bust out here. And they've had a bye week to work on it, to think on it, to stew over the fact that they've lost three of their last four games by a very, very, very small margin. They're the defending Super Bowl champs. I'm sure they checked their guts very thoroughly over the bye week, and they're going to come out all guns blazing.
And let's talk about this defense again. Six sacks that they had against Alex Smith and the Chiefs. They were going to be aggressive. Ray Horton promised that aggressiveness, and we saw them deliver on that. And I think some of that over-aggressiveness was costly against all the screenplays
sure.
that the Chiefs were able to execute to Jamaal Charles, etc. But I think in this game, it's probably wise to have a similar approach. Yeah, they've got Ray Rice in a passing game as well, but as I look at this Ravens team, they're going to also try to take more shots. I would think it makes sense to be equally aggressive and to expect, given some of the issues the Ravens have had with their offensive line, to expect that this pressure can be strong again.
I think so, and you're going to have a few other factors to consider. Well, first of all, you know that Joe Hayden can do a tremendous job on Torrey Smith,
right.
So you have the confidence there. Buster Skrine has been playing well enough that you can take some chances and take some risks there. And then you've got the Paul Kruger factor. I mean, I don't care what anybody says. When you play against your former team, the one that didn't sign you, you're going to want to show up big. And he's been disruptive the past few weeks. He's been coming around a little bit, getting his sea legs underneath him. And, you know, and he's got Jabal Sheard back now on the other side, so they have a little bit of a rotation going. So I definitely think you'll see some sacks this game.
And I think that, you know, the screen game, you're worried about it with a guy like Jamaal Charles, Dexter McCluster. Those guys have a lot of speed. I don't know if Ray Rice has lost a step. I don't know if that offensive line is limiting him. But when you look at Ray Rice's numbers this year, 2.8 yards per carry, 4.8 yards per catch, both career lows there. In fact, the leading rusher on a yards per carry basis for the Ravens this season, Joe Flacco at 4.3. So I think that, you know, you want to get after Flacco and I think contain Ray Rice, but do you feel like Ray Rice, watching him, he's maybe lost a little bit of a step this year?
Well, you know, I don't know if he's been 100% completely healthy this season or what the deal is, but bye weeks sometimes have a funny way of bringing out the best in a guy. So
sure.
they cannot get into a false sense of security over Ray Rice's numbers right now, because we've seen what Ray Rice has been able to do against his football team in the past. And this is a defense that has, you know, lost contain on a few guys here and there this season. And they've got to be careful of that. We saw what C.J. Spiller did.
Right.
You know, Eddie Lacy had some nice runs against them and things like that. So I thought they did, you know, except for the screens, you know, they did a decent job in the running game last week against Jamaal Charles. But you always have to be careful of Ray Rice.
And I would agree with that. And one of the things that the Browns have done a very good job of doing, I would say, is at least for the most part containing the other team's stars. But it has been a secondary guy, whether it be a Dexter McCluster, Anthony Sherman, Joseph Fauria, Jared Boykin, who have really put the hammer down on this Browns team. Who are you worried about from the Baltimore Ravens in terms of a secondary option this week, if anybody?
You know what? I think for the most part, you know, I've been looking more at, you know, the usual suspects when I think about them, you know, just the Torrey Smiths, the Ray Rices. So, you know, I can't really say that there's anybody that I think is going to bust out. But I do think that you have to be aware of that for that kind of a guy because it's happened to them on a consistent basis.
I was just going to say, I think for the Browns' sake, I don't know if any of the regulars for the Ravens have done enough as regulars
to be counted. Right
to be scared of. I think Mary Kay's 100% right. I think it's the regulars that they're going to have to count on because they, you know, the irregulars.
Marlon Brown did score on the Browns the first time. And, you know, he's one guy that
he's a stalwart.
You can maybe keep an eye on him. You know, it's interesting. Torrey Smith this year had 85 yards receiving in that first game. That's the most that an opposing number one receiver has had all season against this Browns team. He's had a pretty good season. But the Browns, interestingly enough, and one of the things that Baltimore's relied on so heavily is the deep ball. The Browns have not allowed a pass play of 40 yards yet this season, only team in the league.
That speaks to those safeties.
Yeah, and you know what else, though? Jacoby Jones is going to be back in this game.
He's back this game,
correct. So this is someone that's going to want to come out and make an instant, immediate impact. I mean, when you have a team coming off the bye week, they've spent a lot of time devising, game planning, looking at things. So I definitely think he's somebody that you have to watch for. But like you guys said, the safety play, you know, has been good. It's, you know, the secondary has overachieved this season.
No doubt.
And, you know, that's a huge reason for
they've been great since week one. Baltimore Ravens secondary has been very good since week one.
Mary Kay, thank you so much. Wonderful breakdown as always. And I know we'll catch up with you again soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
All right. She is Mary Kay Cabot. And again, covering the Browns for Cleveland.com for the Cleveland Plain Dealer. Check out her Twitter account. Follow her at Mary Kay Cabot. And what did you want to add?
Yeah, well, when we come back, you know, Pete Prisco, who we've had on the show from CBSSports.com, just released his midseason All-Pro team, as well as his midseason awards. Were any Browns on there? You bet they were. We'll let you know who when we return.
And inside the locker room, we're going to go inside there with Desmond Bryant and Jameer Howerton.